You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
I think what you're trying to ask is, why am I so insistent upon giving out to them that blackness, that black power, that black pushing them to identify with black culture? I think that's what you're asking. I have no choice over it. In the first place, to me, we are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world, black people. I mean, and I mean that in every sense, outside and inside. And to me, we have a culture that is surpassed by no other civilization, but we don't know anything about it. So again, I think I've said this before in this same interview, I think at some time before, my job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Otto Sonata, and welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are the turn of intelligent radio as we ensure the free flow of opinions and push the envelope on the questions America's afraid to ask in the mainstream media. Good morning to all the intellectual outcasts out there. Thank you, Otto, for being with me. I know you're on the road, so if people hear a little background noise, that's okay. But again, thank you, Queen, for getting on with me for this morning's discussion question. If you are a first-time listener, again, I go by the name.
Can you hear me?
Yep, you're coming through clear, Queen. Thank you for being with me. But with that said, let's go ahead and introduce you. For those who haven't heard you, you are one of our regular Queens of Intellect members, so they should get used to hearing your beautiful voice, if you will, Queen. But say hello to the intellectual outcast and give a little bit of your background in reference to today's discussion question, even though we haven't shared with the audience what that question is, but kind of related to that if you can.
All right, cool. Good morning, everybody. Like Montoya was saying, my name is Autumn Williams. I am, first and foremost, a woman, secondly, a mother. As related to today's topic, I am a model as well. I've been in the industry not too long, for about 3 years now. Just really dug into it and got professional with it in the last year and a half. Outside of that, I am also in the entertainment sector of things with hosting events, so a lot of around a lot of entertainers and athletes and things of that nature. So that's the part of me that relates to today's topic, and happy to be here, and I'm ready to discuss this, so looking forward to it.
No, absolutely. Glad to have you, Queen. And so, again, we do our shows in the form of a question. I go by Black Socrates. So the idea is if we ask the right questions, maybe we can get to some answers. And so to go ahead and let the cat out the bag on this morning's discussion question, it is, are some collegiate NIL deals a step back for women? Are some collegiate NIL deals a step back for women? And to be clear, NIL stands for name, image, and likeness. It's pretty much a new field, if you will, for the college athletes all the years about, you know, whether we're paying college athletes, can they make their name off their name, image, and likeness? And so for those who didn't know what NIL stood for, that's what that is. And so I'll say the question one more time, then I'll ask Autumn to basically address and start where we always start, which is her first thoughts on this question. And so again, that question is, are some collegiate NIL deals a step back for women? If you will, Autumn, when you first heard the question worded it that way, what was your initial thought?
My initial thought was no. I actually feel like it is a step forward. And the reason why I say that is because it gives women, all athletes, the ability to pick and choose what they brand themselves or associate their brand with. So for women in particular, especially Black women, the freedom to choose how we represent ourselves and what we attach ourselves to is freedom at its best, especially in that industry. So my answer is no.
Okay. My initial thought is to share that with the audience is, again, I'm just doing nuance here. Are some collegiate NIDLs a step back for women? I lean towards yet, not a full yes. I lean more towards possibly. I think I lean more towards possibly than a full yes. But I think, again, this gives an opportunity to have a nuanced discussion, not just, in a sense, the extremes, which, again, we had the Mental Dialogue Live experience last night. That was wonderful. So shout out to Urban Grind for our live experience, Black-owned coffee shop here in Midtown Atlanta, where we actually meet in person and do these same types of discussions. We had a wonderful time last night just to highlight that. But as I was telling that audience, especially for the people who attended for the first time, we always brag about the show being, in a sense, a place to have hard conversations on race, sex, and culture. And what I told the audience last night was that ultimately we want to practice the art of consideration, which is giving serious consideration to why someone thinks differently. And so in this situation, myself and Autumn, sounds like we lean in opposite directions, but the beauty of having a nuanced discussion is I definitely want to listen to, you know, why she leans the way she does, and hopefully you know, that'll happen in return, and you as the audience, y'all can jump in and join us and give us your thoughts, because we will listen to all opinions, whether we agree or disagree. And I like to offer that the best way to have dialogue isn't necessarily when you're disagreeing to agree to disagree, which is a term that a lot of people like to use. I quite often say that when people do that, they're just stopping the conversation, but yet haven't given any consideration for what the other side says. And so again, I just like to highlight the fact that we specialize in listening to one another. And so I think that will happen very much so on this morning's show. With that said, I think I'm going to go to the break just a little earlier so we can kind of jump right in, because I'll go ahead and share what jumped off this show was some comments by Dominique Dawes. If anybody remember the gymnast, the famous gymnast from I think the late 80s, if I remember. I forgot exactly when her the USA team won the gold medal, which Olympic that was, but she was one of the, if you will, one of the star athletes on that team. And so she pointed out her thoughts on NIL deals. So what we'll do is we'll go to break, get some insight. And the person that came to the, that has come to the forefront specifically in the African-American community is Angel Reese. To give a little more context, Angel Reese, the LSU star who basically got, you know, became of a lot of notoriety recently after they won the national championship going up against, was it Caitlin? I forgot Caitlin's last name. But anyway, she kind of got noted for that. And she is the highest earning female athlete for the name, image, and likeness deals in college, where these college athletes are able to make money off their name, image, and likeness. So I guess to a degree, no surprise, she's at the forefront of that based on the notoriety she got after the championship and going, basically talking junk to the to the opponent after winning the championship. So just a little context, and we'll hear a cut specifically about Angel Reese, and then we'll come back and get into Dominique Dawes' thoughts after that. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. For anybody that wants to get in, the number is 646-787-1691. You do have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. We'll be right back.
Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers. Why you ask?
Man, you got to try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wines. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I mean, I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping deal or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, try this sweet red first.
That's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's
kind of
sweet like I like it. You know what I'm talking about?
For sure. That's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Zinfandel. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay. Now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you said what? Sipandsharewines.com? Is that it?
Yep.
that.
Angel Reese is not only a NCAA women's college basketball champion, but she's also the highest earner in college basketball for men and women. And with her popularity going high, skyrocketing, she's only going to earn more money. So all this about the GPA and this nonsense and rude and, you know, petty and unprofessional, all this stuff they be throwing out her, it doesn't matter because she's getting millions of dollars being Angel Reese and performing on the court and continuing to do what she does. She's a top earner. And she dropped her merch and it's selling so much. So many people are buying not one, not two, not three, not four, five, six, seven shirts at 30 and up. So she's definitely cashing in, getting a whole lot of money, getting a bag. And it just boils down to a person that's just being herself and being able to dominate and play basketball and have fun doing it. You know, the hand gesture, the Remy, the Caitlin Clark wasn't upset about it. Other people were, but that's another thing that's going to help her get more money. She'll probably come out with a shirt with that or something. Who knows? But right now, she's just killing it in the NIL deals, just making so much money that she's almost earning more money right now than a lot of the WNBA players.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Autumn Williams. This morning's discussion question, are some collegiate NIL deals a step back for women? As we hear a cut from Trill Hoops TV, specifically about Angel Reese, and we start with her because she is the leading female athlete, if you will, in these NIL deals, again, sparked by the LSU basketball championship, and it was Clayton and Clark. I think it was, I may still be saying her name incorrectly, but that kind of sparked her getting into notoriety, going at her and, you know, getting in the media, if you will. And so she's actually, I guess, since you said your answer is yes, your answer is no, they're not a step back. I'm pretty sure you're proud to hear, if you will, Autumn, that she is, in a sense, benefiting from that notoriety. And so I'll get you, give a little thoughts there, and then we'll go into Dominique Dawes' comments and go after that. Go ahead, Queen, your thoughts.
Yeah, so my thoughts on the ways that she is benefiting is in alignment with what, you know, a lot of women have been fighting for years, the rights to use our bodies and our voices in the ways that benefit us. She's an athlete, which, you know, historically we have been restricted on how we present ourselves to the world, how we carry ourselves off the court or off the stage, and, you know, limits to how much money we can make. So we had to be very careful in how we branded ourselves and change the way that we did, you know, everyday life. Now with the NIL bills, women are free to do what they want to do. A lot of us will be doing it for free because it gives us a sense of freedom. Like for myself, I wear what I want to wear. I'm not getting paid for it. But the privilege for her to be on Sports Illustrated, and which, mind you, this is a choice that she made, and she's getting paid for it, why not? We fight so hard to have our voices heard, to have rights to our own bodies, but then when we get it, there's an issue. Women are going to dress the way we want to dress regardless. And if they choose to do that on a notable, you know, highly regarded sports, you know, magazine, then more power to them. I'm all for it. And she getting a bag. And she young. So it's only going to get better.
Nah, fair enough. All right, let me share with you these thoughts. Again, this is actually what sparked this conversation this morning, and these are from Dominique Dawes. I stand corrected. I don't know why I said the 80s. I mean, 1996 is when she was actually in the Olympics. But here was her thoughts in reference to, like you said, Angel Reese, actually, like she is on the Sports Illustrated. But it's not the only area that she's been notarized in. And so this is what Dominique Dawes, the Olympic gold medalist, had to say in reference to all of this. He said, let's discuss this. NIL has allowed college athletes to get paid. That's great. I'm all for it. When I originally signed an athletic scholarship with Stanford in 1994, I turned it down to go pro in order to earn endorsement deals off of the 1996 Olympics game. NIL wasn't even a remote thought from the NCAA back then. Today, I have three young daughters, and I'm a business owner in which has thousands of young girls coming through my facilities. This whole NIL trend is alarming to me. Why is it that the most effective way to make money for females is by almost bearing it all? Angel Reese and Olivia Dunn are strong, remarkable athletes. Both are at LSU. They are the highest money NIL earners for females. Bronny James is the highest paid for males and by almost triple that of the two women pitchers. How come the females have to strip down to make a larger percentage of their money? She says, I know it's an SI swimsuit, SI swimsuit shoot, which was a multi-million dollar deal. The men are always pictured for their athletic achievements along with their endorsements. Tara Van Dervier, the legendary Stanford University women's basketball coach, was quoted as saying, some NIL deals are a step back for women. I would love to hear your thoughts. And so I'll kind of let you address Dominique Dawes saying, hey, the biggest percentage for the women is having to bear it all, not just being recognized for their accolades like the male athletes who secure these deals, in a sense, will be allowed. So, again, that's just kind of her thoughts. And she also put the Stanford University women's basketball coach's thoughts on it as well. So what are your thoughts or response to her, I guess I should say, Autumn?
So in response to Dominique Dawes, and let me just be clear, I am not an athlete, especially not in to that degree. So their lived experience, I will not discount it because there's something that I have not experienced myself. But when it comes to modeling, what I hear is that she's saying that, you know, women from that industry, from that side of things, taking their clothes off is a step back. But what does that say about models? We bear it, or we, you know, represent different brands, different fashions with our bodies. Our bodies are our money. And I see no difference in an athlete doing the same because their bodies are their money. And if an athlete, especially a woman, makes the choice, mind you, her choice to do so in a swimsuit, I don't see what the issue is, especially from an athlete who wore a leotard in her performances. Whereas in those leotards, you can see every nook and cranny. And she had to flip and expose all of that. So I'm not sure where the conflict is when it comes to women showing that on a magazine, where they're, one, getting paid, and two, they're making the decision to do so. Three, there's a magazine that ESPN, an issue that ESPN puts out called The Body Issue. If you ever looked at that issue, all athletes, male or female, bear it all. I mean, not a single article of clothing is worn in those issues. But there's no uproar about that. So I think sometimes people just like to speak because the mic is on without really thinking about their own, persona that they're putting out there, the brand that they're representing and the things that they've worn. And maybe, you know, after, you know, the Olympics, after that, she has a different viewpoint. But I think it's a bit hypocritical to say it the way that she's saying it.
Well, fair enough thought. So I love the leotard example. One of my other listeners, one of my other Queens Intellect members, she piped in and made a similar comment on the social media as we were promoting it this week. I actually did not understand it until you just said it. Like she made a post about the leotard, and I was like, I don't understand what she's saying. But now, to your point, like I said, Dominique Dawes herself definitely wore a leotard that, like you said, shows everything. And you know, and had she went to college, she wouldn't have made a penny or whatever because she chose to go pro. Then she was allowed to, in a sense, make money the very same way that, to a degree, it sounds like she's criticizing as we speak. So good point. I hear where you're going. Here's where I think I understand where she's coming from a personal standpoint. And it's literally, as I hear them, as she's pointing out, the difference in how the male athletes, in a sense, can be paid off of their accomplishments. So what I think I hear Dominique Dawes as well as Coach Van Der Veer, Stanford University women's basketball coach, what I think I hear them saying, and you tell me if you can see this or see this perspective, but I think what I hear them saying is, to a degree, women, not models, because definitely I think most of the world 100% understands, like to your point, for models, that is your industry. That is, in a sense, your currency specifically within that industry. So I would be surprised if we were fortunate enough to be able to have on a Dominique Dawes, right? I would be surprised that she would, I think she would say, I absolutely understand. I don't think she would disagree with that part of it, right? However, what I think I'm reading into this, again, I'm obviously making assumptions on their thoughts, but what I think I'm reading into this is them saying, for so long, women have fought to be recognized for more than their looks in general. Again, modeling industry aside, have been doing so, and so a step forward has been constant recognition for, in a sense, their ability. And so the comparison that I hear them making is the men athletes are going to get in their end ideals based on their ability and their attributes within the sport themselves. However, what she said, the larger percentage of these end ideals for the ladies seems to be that these young college athletes now, if they're going to take a deal and make money, then they're going to be encouraged to take it all off if they have the body to do so. And that's what's going to drive it. So the motive for the NIL is completely different, is what I think I hear these ladies saying. Your thoughts on that, Queen? Go ahead.
My thoughts are modeling is modeling, regardless of what industry adopts it. In modeling, women are paid more. In sports, men are paid more. When you start to cross those two industries, of course, people, you know, from one side is going to feel a certain way, but that's just the nature of the beast. If a man is, you know, paid more in athletics or whatever his sport is, and, you know, he's recognized at a higher level because of his reputation in football or basketball or whatever, of course his endorsements are going to garner him more wages. His face is, you know, people relate to it. They relate to his story. They follow him. You know, the audience is there for that. So he doesn't have to do as much when it comes to crossing industry. So when it comes to that Sports Illustrated issue, they don't have to, like Bronny, LeBron James' son, he don't have to take his clothes off. And, you know, regardless of how you see it, his name association does that for him. When people see him, they see his father. We can't say the same for the college women, unfortunately, and that's just the nature of it. If you put someone on there that's Lisa Leslie's daughter, and if she had, you know, still been relevant in the industry, like playing right now as far as basketball, and her daughter was on there, she wouldn't have to bear it all. It's name association. Connection means everything. There's nobody to connect these two young ladies to outside of themselves, which is wonderful. They can start their own, you know, legacy. But they have to start somewhere. And with the choices that they made, this is how they're deciding to you know, build onto that. I think some people are assuming that these young ladies are starting their legacy based on that Sports Illustrated, you know, cover. They already started making money, millions before they put their faces on that cover. So, again, it was a choice. I understand what Dominique Dawes is saying. I understand what the coach is saying. But at the end of the day, when we're talking about two industries that are – recognizing women to a certain degree and then recognizing men to a certain degree, you have to weigh in the different variables that come to play when you start to cross those two. So the logistics of it.
So what happens is I hear these ladies pointing out the because I hear what you're saying when you cross those two. But what I hear them saying within the NIL deals that was intended for college athletes, name, like image and likeness, that was intended for that. So in a sense, I hear them talking about not the idea of crossing industries. And to the point that the male doesn't even have to cross into the industry. He's talking about that they're being recognized for their skill set. Like Angel Reese is one of the best athletes in the college basketball right now, women's sports, women basketball, to the point where she has the ability to go to the NBA. You kind of heard it referenced in the cut. She has the ability to go to the WNBA right now, but due to the NIL deals, if you will, it's almost kind of like, why would she? She can make it, like the guy said in the cut, she's making more than some of the WNBA athletes already. What I hear, and I think I agree with this portion, is the biggest reason the millions are there are not because of her athletic prowess. And so do you at least understand that perspective in the sense of the push to be pushed into modeling is a whole different pool and reason for their NIL? And no, there wasn't a bunch of millions before bearing the body for a lot of these athletes. Angel Reese, to your point, based on association, based on that back and forth with Caitlin, I keep forgetting the lady's last name, but based on that back and forth, she probably got endorsement deals prior. But there's, like, for example, some of the other higher female athletes that are getting NILs are in gymnastics, if you will. They're only known for their modeling and not for their gymnastics. So do you at least understand it from that standpoint of that it's requiring the ladies to move into that space to be able to get an NIL deal, whereas the men are not being required? What are your thoughts on that before we go to another break?
So as far as the requirement, I am not personally aware that there is a mandate or a requirement for a woman to do something
Let me cut in real quick to be clear. So when I say require, I'm not saying an official legal mandate, saying that the society is such that the NIL deals that are going to come from the women, that the nature of society, the nature of these companies that are going to want to do an NIL deal, it won't be recognizing the young ladies for their ability, being the star athlete. It won't be for under that same concept. So I think that's what I'm – Dominique Dawes are focused specifically on the women can't get recognized for their ability. Not a mandate, not a requirement, just the industries itself are choosing to get out in our deals for something other than their athletic prowess. That's just, your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so with that, it gives a woman longevity. I think those options, and I understand that, it's stripping away or taking away from their, notoriety as an athlete. Because, again, stepping into those different industries, those specific industries recognize women to a higher degree. So, of course, you get, the looks and the recognition from different audiences that you wouldn't get from, somebody who watches, the audience that watches the WNBA. And to be honest with you, the audience is not there for the WNBA or other, female sports. So when you cross industries, of course, it's opening you up to a different audience. And sometimes that's where the money is. It depends on your goal, on what your own desire is, your personal desire. When it comes to building legacy, I personally don't see an issue with taking advantage of those opportunities to where I don't have to beat my body up or where I risk injury and, taking myself out of the game and being retired early. If the love for the game is there, of course, that's your passion, stick with it. But if there's opportunity for you to, expand your portfolio, regardless of what society says, it's your personal journey. And if these women are wanting to go that way, then I don't see the issue with it. Long after the game is over or, long after the passion is gone, what have you, there has to be something that you can hold on to, something that you can keep going with. And NIL policy or deals are allowing them to do that.
Fair thoughts. We'll go up against a break. I see a couple of callers out there. If you want to get in, callers, you do have to press 1. If you're just listening via the phone, no problem. For anybody online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, 646-787-1691. You do have to press 1 to speak. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
This is the first season that college athletes can capitalize on their name, image, and likeness thanks to a change in NCAA rules. And some female athletes are raking it in, and some coaches are asking if it's a step back.
This college gymnast is making quite a splash, posting provocative videos and photos and earning lots of money doing so. Here, the 20-year-old promotes Vuori clothing along with a sizzling bikini pic. And in this photo, she strikes a sexy pose in American Eagle jeans. Best jeans ever. Olivia Dunn is a college gymnast for Louisiana State University. And now, because of a rule change that regulates college athletics, she's allowed to monetize her name and image.
How can I forget my American Eagle corduroys?
She's making a reported $2 million a year, and she's not the only one. University of Miami basketball-playing twins Haley and Hannah Cavender are also college athletes who are now cashing in with flirty social media videos for branded products. Olympic bronze medalist Sunitha Lee of Auburn University is also reportedly making $1 million promoting her name and likeness on social media. Living in this outfit I designed with pretty little things, she posted. But prominent basketball coach Tara Vanderveer of Stanford University is slamming the trend that focuses on the beauty of female athletes. Sometimes we have this swinging pendulum where we maybe take 2 steps forward and then we take a step back. This is a step back, she tells the New York Times. Bob Dorfman is an expert in sports marketing.
For women, it's a difficult situation because sex sells. It can look like you're demeaning to women by posing that way provocatively. On the other hand, the pros of this are for athletes, it's a wonderful opportunity to make money the same way that professional athletes do.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. Special guest co-host, Autumn Williams. This morning's discussion question, are some collegiate NIL deals a step back for women? As you hear, again, Stanford University basketball women's coach, Tara Vanderveer, say that sometimes we take a step forward and 2 steps back, because from her perspective, the idea that the NIL, which again is supposed to benefit the athletes that can capitalize, which is not the majority of athletes, but the benefit for the women is in a sense pushing them to push their sexuality versus being recognized for their athletic ability. You hear at the end, the guy just highlight at the end of the day, it's allowing these college athletes to get paid just like professional athletes, which again, this is a non-issue to a degree to society when we think of it for grown athlete, you know, women that are, you know, in a sense, adult women who are making this choice. This hadn't really come up. We actually applauded, if you will, for older women. I personally can see that concern if I have a daughter going into college athlete, you know, college athletics, you know, maybe in a sense getting a scholarship, be having the ability to get a scholarship, and would absolutely be willing for, in a sense, my daughter to get an NIL deal. But I would have some concerns of what that looks like if the only thing, in a sense, being offered to her is to mostly show her body and disregard her athletic ability. I can admit that that's not an easy thought for me, in a sense, if I were a father to a daughter. And I could imagine that a lot of men might feel similar. So how do you comfort a man who feels like me, you know, let's say it's you and me together, Autumn, and our daughter is you know, a certain, you know, athlete or whatever. She could be in softball or whatever the case may be. But the only deals that are being thrown at her is because our daughter is the prettiest or sexiest girl on the team, if you will. Because, you know, I do think we would have beautiful babies. So, you know, I put a little sauce on it, but how do you comfort me? Because I don't know what to ask you about all of that, Autumn. Go ahead, Queen.
So for me, you know, of course, being a model, being in that industry, having a daughter, and her father, my ex-husband, super protective. And I also have my father who cringed at the thought of going into modeling. He's like, well, question of how much did you pay for it? And what are these pictures like? So he saw some lingerie pictures and he almost threw up. You know, he came out over it. But I'm grown. You know, being 40 versus being, you know, college age is two totally different mindsets. And I think that is the major, that's the variant there. But that's, you know, where the parents and, you know, women like myself who have been in that space come into play. So your village is important when you have a young woman going into that industry, especially when her mindset has been mostly, you know, focused on athletics, where, you know, sex is not as prevalent, well, maybe not prevalent, in that industry, or it's not thrown in her face as much. So, you know, that guidance is necessary. So you need a manager, someone who's close to you, someone you can trust, who trusts you, and vice versa. That's where the parent would come in. So my advice to, you know, my significant other, if my daughter went into that, was,
yeah, actually, we're having a bad connection now, Queen, just to let you know. So I may have to have you call back in to get that thought. Because let me see. Say something.
Okay.
Let's try to get a better connection. Yeah, just call right. I'm sorry, say it again.
Okay.
Yeah,
about,
we got to
turn out to have a Wi-Fi call. That's why.
So, yeah, it's a little tough to hear you. If I can have, if I'm having trouble hearing you, I know the audience is as well.
Okay.
So you sound a little better now.
All right,
so
let me
if you did something different. Yeah, but yeah, whatever you did different.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
All right, that was a lot.
So you were saying, yeah, go ahead and pick up where you're at. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I would advise my husband that, you know, we would just need to be involved, more involved in, you know, her everyday moves. And that's also, you know, making sure that you have built the foundation with your child to where they trust you and that they are a bit more aware of people's motives and that they can come to you about certain things. So, you know, I think that, and I hate to say it, but I think that some parents, when they think about modeling, they think about OnlyFans or, you know, that extreme side of stuff where it can go that way if you don't have the proper guidance. But,
and that's
correct me
from that, though, Autumn. That's what I'm saying. So
that's, I haven't seen it. That's my
like
thing.
That.
I have not seen it there. I have not.
Right.
It, to me, it doesn't go to that extreme. And maybe it's something I'm missing. But I've only seen the, you know, the Sports Illustrated thing. Now, if they're going further than that, that's a morality issue, and that I would definitely not agree with. But from my perspective, all I see are athletes who are showing parts of their body, not in any lewd manner, but in any other way that a professional or a model would do on Sports Illustrated. There are models who would die to get on Sports Illustrated. And these athletes who are showing, you know, their biggest asset and not in any, you know, pornographic way are taking advantage of that. And if they're, you know, of age and have given their consent and they are choosing to do this with all morality in check, then I don't see the issue.
So that's where I'll say to you, now you can, without having seen it, because again, you're in the industry and I respect being protective of it, but can you imagine, or when I say this, I think you can relate to this, you're being a little, I would say a little naive to what else is out there. So I do get, only having seen the swimsuit issue in SI, because personally, as a man who's saying I might have a problem with my daughter doing this, right, I can say I don't have a problem with the SI swimsuit at all. So I do need you to be aware of that the bigger concern, and where I think Dominique Dawes and this coach, the Stanford University coach, is going is, it's the other area that's driving it. Meaning, so now we already talk about social media and the psychology of, if you will, you know, young people in general chasing likes on social media, right? And then when it comes to specifically women, specifically, a big part of that is, are you chasing likes for your images and what the psychology of that looks like? And so the NIL deals, to an extent, can be drivers to an already growing issue for younger people. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now there's professional money being thrown at. So what the athletes could do is, in a sense, go export their bodies on IGs like some of them are doing anyway. But now that could be in order to secure a deal. So there's a lot of issues with that. You and me together can help our daughter navigate that. But for a lot of girls who don't have that guidance, I think that's some of the concern that Dawes and the Stanford coach have. Your thoughts?
Sure. I mean, and I completely understand. I'm not ignorant to the possibility of it going extremely left. That happens whether or not money is involved, you know, in day-to-day. And no matter the age, we can take Ja Morant, for example, his mentality, professional player, millions of dollars, blowing it away because his mind is not right. The maturity is not there. The guidance is not there. The same thing when it comes to these young athletes, the guidance has to be there. If it's not, I would not suggest it. Definitely would not, because this society is driven by validation. And if you don't have that foundation at home or the support, then yeah, you could fall to the wayside. Of course, I'm not negating that. My point is, all else in place, village intact, support, you know, enabled, and your mind is being, you know, or your thoughts are being guided, you know, by proper support and things of that nature, then why not?
I wouldn't disagree with that.
The traditional way of things is the what ifs. We're not society where we live in what ifs anymore.
Right. See, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think the reality is the situation is, to a degree, the village is typically, unfortunately, not going to be intact for a lot of the young ladies, if you will. So operating in that reality, because like you, I can't disagree. Village intact, God is a perfect point. Can't disagree with that. I think the reality is that's not largely what's going to be the case. So that's not the larger reality. I'm obviously making an assumption, an opinion there. But the other part of it is, to not that the colleges themselves are pushing these things, but that, in a sense, the NCAA, by allowing it, if you will, is almost getting in bed with this encouragement to, in a sense, specifically focus on the objectification of women. And I am concerned that my 18-year-old freshman may have to navigate that if she is a star athlete with the, in a sense, full scholarship. Again, with yours and my guidance, I think we're good. There's no dialogue there or whatever. But what does the bigger picture for girls looks like when they can watch a male athlete get paid triple what they can get paid, and the way that they can make their money would be to now cross into modeling, because there's not a lot of NIL deals for them otherwise. Like, that may be the landscape going forward. Any thoughts on that, Queen?
So, you know, it's damn if you do, damn if you don't. Historically, college athletes have been paid nothing, like getting paid pennies under the table, and it was almost impossible for them to monetize, you know, the work that they put in, which is probably as extreme as professionals. So, you know, when we're talking about audience and influence, college athletes have a huge audience. I'm not personally a college basketball fan. So, you know, my attention to that is not there, but I know that it's huge. So these athletes opening, or the NCAA opening up the doors for these athletes to finally monetize those things. And I know I'm not disregarding the fact that women are paid less. That's across all industries, tech, athletics, you know, anything. But when it comes to, and I keep going back to modeling, because that is one of the few industries where we are paid significantly more. And so even with the NIL deals, you know, the endorsements, you know, we maybe pay less branding, what is it, volunteering, things of that nature, maybe pay less. But when it comes to actual modeling, we are paid more. And so with a woman or for a young woman decides to take that route, or if it is advised for her to take that route, then I don't see the issue with it. My biggest thing is everything has to be intact. And with anything, when you're opening up the door to a new opportunity, there's pros and cons to it. Of course, there are going to be some who just fall off. Like they just, they're shocked by this opportunity and they completely waste themselves. That's with anything. It's not exclusive to young adults. That's with anything. The internet has killed a lot of people because of that validation being so widespread. And, you know, it exposes people. So I'm not ignorant to the fact that some will be harmed by this, male and female, because things that it's going to give them.
Yeah, let's go to a break and come back and talk about how, in a sense, how we prepare and protect. Like, because you're right, this is going to be, you know, young men faced with opportunity. And sometimes, like I say, it could just be exposure to the type of money. The money itself can, you know, make someone go awry. So to your point. But let's talk about how to, in a sense, wrap our hands and wrap our village around this new world for some of our potential athletes going into college. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Truth seekers, please understand, Mental Dialogue is much more than just a talk show. Each and every Saturday, we communicate with you for two reasons, to dialogue and connect. On the dialogue side, we cater to you intellectual outcasts who feel you have no place for honest discourse on race, sex, culture, and African-American business. On the connect side, we've created a community where you can connect with experts specifically in finance, whether personal or business, and mental health, whether it's trauma or to optimize performance, along with all the other skill sets from other MD community members. Our mission was to create a virtual nationwide neighborhood where African Americans learn to trade ideas, goods, and services through social media, meetups, and this podcast. To become a neighbor of the Mental Dialogue Community Club, please visit us at mentaldialogue.com. We are better with you than we are without you. We can be neighbors even though we don't live next to each other. Hashtag raise the culture.
What's going on, guys? It's Greg Musial with Thighs, and today I'm telling you everything you need to know, as well as a basic breakdown of the new NIL rules. So if you haven't seen, pay a lot of attention to the news. NIL stands for Name, Image, and Likeness, and it's a new set of laws that have come out around the NCAA coming up. I mean, it was just passed, so it's in effect now, but it's most important for you guys as you approach this coming spring season. So Name, Image, and Likeness refers to your ability to make money from your name, image, likeness while you're in college. So previously, the NCAA considered all college athletes as amateur athletes, and making any money from your status as an amateur athlete, as a college athlete, would be a violation, and you would promptly lose your NCAA status and not be able to play anymore. And so this did happen a couple times. There's a very, very popular YouTube channel with a football player who ended up getting rid of a scholarship, leaving the football program because he wanted to make content and make money on YouTube, and it's now paid dividends for him. And unfortunately, this rule wasn't available when he was playing. But you've also seen guys in lacrosse do it, like Jesse James West, like Stelios, like Mitchell Pelkey. And so previously, if you were a college player or even a high school player, you weren't allowed to receive money for using your name, image, and likeness. And now that has all been reversed. It has been changed. You can officially make money. So this is going to apply to things like classic endorsements. So if you endorse a drink brand or a supplement brand or even a lacrosse equipment company, you can also do things like Cameo, where people are paying you for appearances or digital appearances. You can sell autographs. You can sell autographed merchandise. You can launch your own set of merchandise. You can make monetized videos on YouTube. And it just opens up a lot more opportunities. And everyone felt like the deck was stacked against athletes, where the NCAA or the college was allowed to profit greatly from their play on the field, from their personalities, from their name, image, and likeness. And now a little bit of that power has been shifted back to the players, which has been a long time coming. All right.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, with special guest co-host Autumn Williams. This morning's discussion question, are some collegiate NIL deals a step back for women? So, Autumn, you saw the promotions this weekend that I put up, and I just pulled a couple of pictures or whatever. So I know you saw the SI swimsuit, and again, I personally don't have a problem specifically referring to Angel Reese. That cut just, you know, went further to explain what NIL, for any of our listeners out there, we do want y'all to understand exactly what they are. But going back to Angel Reese, I'm sorry, Angel Reese. But going back to her, what about the pictures I put up for the promotion? Did those pictures, where she was holding the trophy from LSU, that I put up a couple of swimsuit pictures, if you will, did you feel like both of those were in good taste from what you can recall? I don't know if you recall those pictures or not. I'm just going to kind of get your opinion. I'm going somewhere with that, but I just wanted to hear, did you think both of those were in good taste?
So the one where she's in the black swimsuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one.
The ones you're talking about.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't see where that is offensive or extreme.
Okay.
So if we were talking about something where she is ass out, sitting on her heels, you know, like a Nicki Minaj or a Meg Thee Stallion type pose, yeah, that I would have a huge issue with that.
And those pictures are out there too, unfortunately. I chose not to pick one of those. So
yeah, so that those I haven't seen, and unfortunately, that's going to happen. It's definitely
and so
going to
that's
happen.
Where I think Dominique and the coach is going, or whatever, because that mm-hmm. exists. He has not the bent down Nicki Minaj one. So I want to be clear. I haven't seen her do that, but she definitely has the one ass out bikini not hooked in the back or whatever, and the notoriety goes higher to do those. So before we get into being a college athlete, I wanted to, you know, think about that, right? Imagine, you know, mm-hmm. a 14-year-old girl who hops out on IG and does it because it's popular to go chase that notoriety. As a culture, we hate to see a young girl, in a sense, especially at that age, right? Copy these mm-hmm. things at that age, attempting to get likes, and she will get a lot. And we know they will get a lot of likes. We to a degree, a lot of us take issue with that. But sometimes, even people that take issues, if they find out there's a lot of money attached, then as a culture, we kind of dismiss it. So it's kind of like let's massage through this dialogue, because I'm not necessarily trying to find a right or wrong, but it's a dialogue of what all of this entails, and how do we prepare future athletes when that just jumping on IG to get popularity and likes from showing your body in itself is something that we don't typically want to see young people do. This is part of it, if that makes sense. Go ahead, Queen. I'm sorry.
And like I said, the pros and cons of it. Well, let's just go back to the psychology of it. You know, we're living in a time where validation rules. Mm-hmm. Instagram, Facebook, all these social platforms drive a lot of people's motives to do a certain thing or behave a certain way. Young people, whether they're, you know, working at McDonald's or in college sports, they're not excluded from that trend. And unfortunately, like I said, money and opportunity exposes people's, you know, true, you know, desires or needs. And for a young woman who is in basketball, volleyball, stuff, whatever the case may be, and they have the opportunity to take on an NIL deal, that's just only going to expose what they already want to do, but now they're getting paid for it. So, you know, when we're talking about parents and mentors and former athletes who are in the professional sector who have not had that lived experience because the opportunity wasn't there, it's difficult, and it's kind of, you know, taking a step back for us to judge and try to dictate how that person moves. Instead of trying to understand who they are first and how they would move with or without the money, I think is the best thing to do. Like, and only that person's parents or coaches or whoever is close to them can get to that level. That's where you decide and you determine how that person will move with that opportunity. And, you know, you can influence them to either go forward with it or not. But to sit back as onlookers and say, yeah, our society is doomed because, you know, this has opened up opportunities for these ladies to do whatever, We can't say that. We can't live in the what if because we don't have that opportunity. Dominique Dawes didn't have that opportunity. And who knows what she would have done with that type of money had it been there. She never lived that experience. So as a mom now with three daughters, hindsight is 20/20, you know, you're looking at your daughter saying that, I'll be damned if they do that. Well, that's you now because you've never done it. You've never been in that position. So the opportunity to teach as opposed to criticize is where I think we need to focus on.
So I think to be fair to them, and this is, you know, just my opinion, I think, and again, I'm just nuanced in this sense, I use mm-hmm. the terms that Coach Van Der Veer used, which was some NIL deals are a step back. So I think to be fair to them, I think they're highlighting that some companies will absolutely be in the space of encouraging our young, impressionable female athletes. And so even just in the sense of, like you said, yeah, you can find out if that's what they already wanted to do. I still have, for me, that's still an issue with a young, impressionable mind, not a grown woman. Again, that's why we don't take issues with any professional athlete deciding to bear it all. I mean, some people may not personally like it or whatever, but it's not a concept or a dialogue for the culture. Whereas I think it's absolutely a dialogue while we're doing this today. Please jump in. I see the callers out there. 646-787-1691. Definitely press 1 if you want to speak. But I absolutely see specifically for that age group, in a sense, growing into adulthood, I think to be fair, they're specifically focused on those NIL deals that will, boom, throw a bag at a young lady. And based on her mindset, yeah, it may be what she already wanted to do, but why does she already want to do it? That's the bigger question. Go ahead, Queen.
That's the question, I think, getting to the root of why. And I think that has little or nothing to do with sports or with the money. That's the question. Why do you want to do this? And regardless of what industry you go into, if there's a motivator or an incentive thrown at that reason why, then you're going to go to the wayside. It's not sustainable. I think that we want to protect, or, you know, these athletes or coaches want to protect the children in their industry. That's just it. You know, in any industry, you're going to have those who didn't have that experience or who are, you know, in a different space or a different mindset now who want to protect those after them, or they want to educate those after them. I think that, you know, instead of trying to shame these opportunities or see just the negative in it, they have the notoriety and reputation to set up mentorships or influence these young ladies in a way that would guide them to the right decision in this industry. Educate, mentor them, help them. Don't judge and criticize, because just as there are ones who will just default go to a negative way of doing this, there are ones who want that guidance and don't have that village. So why are we not taking the opportunity to teach and help versus criticize and demean? From a mental standpoint of it, it's both the same thing.
See, I hear what you're saying they should do is what I think that's what they're doing. I think that I hear, and, you know, kind of, you know, sharing these thoughts, some of these thoughts again, but I think that's exactly what Dominique Dawes is doing. I think that's exactly what, here it is. So when she goes, some NIL deals, just that term alone is not just a critique. It's not just a throw these deals under the bus. It's some are a step back for women. So I just think even that is nuanced, and she's taking her position as a legendary coach, right, to put something out publicly to create the dialogue to say, hey, we need to be aware, because to your point, to protect the girls within my industry, that is her concern. So I hear her putting out, you know, she didn't say NIL deals are a step back. I think that's where the sum comes in. Then for Dominique Dawes, she put it and said, she said, let's talk about this. So to me, that's her using her leverage. And that's why, in my opinion, we're having a dialogue today, because she's using her notoriety to say, hey, what does this look like specifically for ladies? So I feel like that's exactly what they're doing in their approach. I don't hear strict criticism, because she points out, hey, great opportunity. She says, you know, athletes to get paid. That's great. I'm all for it. So I don't hear just criticism, right? I feel like she's properly setting it up to do some of what you're talking about. Now, we're actually up against the break, so we'll go to this first break, and I'll get your thoughts coming out of the break. We'll be right back. But all I ask is that you think.
Hey, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies' gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, talk. They still know it's me, because I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money.
Acknowledgement and the respect that we brought to the game. And I see conversations being had about who would have profited the most. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all see those Huaraches we wearing? They was getting paid off for those then. They re-released them 20 years later. They just re-released them. Y'all see those black socks that we're wearing? They weren't selling those. The first time we was wearing black socks, Greeny, we went to the mall. They only had three pair. I was wearing dress socks on top of white socks. Okay? So when you talk about profiting, we showed the world that they can make money off of everything, off sleeves, of elbow pads, of headbands, off of all of that stuff. So where my check? Where my royalties? Where my reparations? Talk to me.
You know, and I think it is also reasonable to remind everyone, look, Jalen Rose, you made a lot of money playing basketball in your life. So did Chris Webber. So did Juwan Howard. Ray Jackson and Jimmy King did not. They didn't have long, incredibly successful professional careers. I feel like that should be in this discussion.
All right, so a couple things you need to know. First off, these rules right now are laws state by state. So there is no federal law in place. Each state has its own set of laws. About 26 states have passed laws in regards to NIL. And for the states that have not passed laws, they'll be going by the NCAA rules, which basically say the school gets to choose whatever you do. So you really need to look this up, see what your state has passed, or if you are in college, talk to your compliance officer, your head coach, your athletic director, and see what the rules are going to apply to you depending on what state you live in and what school you go to, because it is different. While right now it's a little bit confusing, hopefully they're going to pass federal legislation that's going to give you a blanket, so no matter what happens, they'll have one set of rules. But right now it's being passed state by state, so you really need to make sure you're checking with someone before you go sign any deals or accept any money, just to make sure everything is all above board and you're not going to get any trouble.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host, Autumn Williams. This morning's discussion question, are some collegiate NIL deals a step back for women? As I played a couple of cuts, I thought it was only appropriate to make reference to the Fab Five, the Michigan athletes from back in the day who took the NCAA basketball by storm, and as Jalen Rose pointed out, all this money was made that they could never see. So the NIL deals have been looked at as, hey, here's this opportunity that's never been provided to athletes in the past, and he kind of just gave the details a little, hey, they released those some same shoes that became popular because of us. And so all this money that, as they pointed out in that cut, that the other two that didn't go into the NBA never got to make. So we are coming off the extreme of the NCAA takes advantage of athletes. And so what I feel, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, Autumn, is I think Dominique Dawes is taking the approach to say, hey, here's my perspective. I got three daughters. Why is it the majority of the way they can make their money has to do with something that's not even related to their sport? She says, this is alarming to me. Let's talk about it. So I do hear her in using the influence saying, hey, what do y'all think? I don't hear just criticism. Your thoughts, Queen? You may be on mute again, Queen.
I went back to look at Dominique Dawson. And for me, okay, whenever I read anybody's post, athlete, you know, entertainer, whatever the case may be, you have to keep in mind that they're human. And in the same way that your regular 9-to-5 person may go on social media looking for validation, these athletes, former athletes, what have you, can also be on social media looking for validation. Not saying this is what Dominique Dawes was doing, but based on the verbiage, based on the tone and the question, it sounds to me that she is also looking for validation. Someone who has three daughters who has been in that space as a gymnast, a professional gymnast, has been in the limelight, and now has concern, or is also, has influence over thousands of girls, she said, to come through her facilities. I would think that her stance would be first and foremost a default or a posture to mentor, not to ask questions of the general audience or how they feel about it, because we don't have that experience. So not to say that our opinions won't matter, but why is it, you're putting this on social media for validation from people who don't have that experience. So if your intention is to help, then why are you asking for our opinion? We don't know. We're not there. How about using your facility to set up mentorship for the ladies who are going through that right now? How about setting up commercials or ads or what have you for, you know, programs that would assist and guide them on these NIL deals? Or, you know, coaches that would help them through those photo shoots so that they're not being taken advantage of. Why are you coming to the general public for advice or opinions? We don't have a dog in the fight, literally. We're not in that industry. So that, again, it screams that maybe you're looking for the same thing you're accusing these ladies of looking for, and you're a mother of three daughters. It's almost a little disgusting. So even looking at her text, she says, first of all, you know, I'm all for it. That's great. College athletes get paid. And then the second one, she says that this whole NIL trend is alarming to me. Why is it the most effective way to make money for females is by burying it all? But when you look at the ladies who have actually done these shoots and listen to their feedback on these shoots, it's empowering for them that they are not just limited to sports. You know,
Let me jump in real quick. So I remember earlier in the show that you said, hey, if somebody was doing a Nicki Minaj pose, you would have a big problem with that. So that's also going to be encouraged. And so you say it's empowering for them. That young girl could tell you she's empowered by doing the Nicki Minaj pose because of the money she got paid. So I'm just saying, I'm trying to bring those two thoughts together. Go ahead.
But has that happened? You have to look at, let's look at this from women in sport. Typically, and this is only from my point of view, being a tall woman and, when I was younger, being slim framed, and one of my biggest insecurities into going playing basketball is that I would be judged to be a lesbian because I would be tall, you know, and athletically built and things of that nature. And stories that I've heard from peers and others were that, you know, they were judged on their bodies because you're more athletic and tall and, you know, slender and all those different things.
Right.
You see these gymnasts who are built, you know, in a certain way, basketball players who are built in a certain way, who have a certain mentality because of the competition, who are now being presented with opportunities to, and I hate to say that modeling is the more feminine, but it is judged the more feminine industry where they're being accepted or promoted or, you know, moved into that industry to say, hey, your body is welcome here too. And so much so that we're going to put you on Sports Illustrated. These are the facts of what has these women in this industry or these experiences have said and the feedback that they have given. Now, for someone who's built like Olivia Dunn, or even in Angel Reese to go and put on a Nicki Minaj pose, that's a different aesthetic, and it hasn't happened yet. That's what I mean about the what if. We're thinking about the worst-case scenario, and it hasn't happened.
So let's keep this in mind. The NIL deals are not going to be just for modeling, because at the end of the day, we know sex sales, right? That's the market. That's mm-hmm. marketing all together. And so plenty of the NIL deals will be for some obscure product, and it's not for the modeling ability. It's going to be, do you mind, since you're known, this is why you go get a celebrity or someone that's known. In this case, it may be a star college athlete, right? And so this company will say, hey, stand like Nicki Minaj, buy our product. That is absolutely where we're headed now that this is part of college sports. That's what I hear. I told you, there's raunchier pictures to put up than what I put up. I didn't want to be too raunchy in our promotions. But yeah, so that, yeah. So you already said you're not naive to that's the reality of marketing and promotion, though. So let's not be naive, too, that that's absolutely, we haven't allowed college athletes, young, impressionable minds, to take part in this if they were amateur sports, is the way they were termed in the past. So it's not something that's mm-hmm. existed. I can say I'm a fan of protecting that age group from this possibilities. I absolutely see that that's where we're headed, and I feel a Dominique Dawes on that, and I'll say I just take this as an influencer, like we put our show out as a question, you know what I mean? I'm not asking for her, you know what I mean? So I think she's just doing something similar. I think you could be right. It could be just for validation like the average person, so I definitely give credence to that thought process. I am saying, or she could be posing it to press the public to start getting some thoughts, because maybe she's going to do some of what you talked about, but it only helps if you have more of the public on your side. So I can see how an influencer mm-hmm. also would want to start influencing the public to say, hey, we might want to look at this based on what we foresee. Because this is new for all of us. This is a whole new landscape. Again, I know I said a lot. I'm just throwing, just kind of pushing back a little bit. Go ahead, Queen.
Yeah, no, and again, I don't agree that her intentions are, not her intentions, but her actions are being executed to the proper audience, especially with her reputation and her reach. Let's just put it out there, it's already there. It's been there for 2 years already. The NIL deals are there. Not stopping it. The bleeding hasn't started yet. And if we are being truly, invested in protecting our youth, then put that energy into preventative maintenance, put it into programs, put it into actually doing something, not just talking and criticizing about the what ifs of, the potential is there. It could totally go left.
So let me throw this out. Let me throw this out real quick. Let's throw this out now. For Dominique Dawes specifically, she has a whole program just for girls. So she's doing what you're saying. So she's doing it. Now, somebody calling in may not have done any of that. So I think that's a valid point to that person. But to a Dominique Dawes, she's saying, hey, I've gotten this program. I've had it for years. Now, I am concerned, even with my program, that my girls that go through my program are going to be up against this potential, I would say, waterfall of an issue. So she has the program. Go ahead, Queen. I just want to kind of push back for her specifically, though.
Yeah, and again, her program has nothing to do with coaching college athletes or any athlete in that level on how to navigate contracts, how to navigate deals, especially the NIL deal, and how you move in that space, how to manage their social media or, the kickback on that. Her program has nothing to do with that. Just saying you have a program doesn't mean that it's positive or that it's targeted towards this.
So how do we know that it has nothing to do with it? How do we know that? You know what I mean? Like, because I'm pretty sure some of her
just going off of what?
Mm-hmm.
just going off of what has been promoted, her programs are for toddlers to teenagers. These are not college athletes. And she has not promoted anything to say that even after she made that statement. So if the intention was there, then that would be something she would be promoting and highlighting versus saying that I'm concerned to people who have no experience in that space. So, again, I question her motive. Like, what is this for? You know, if you go on her website, if you look at what she has stated before, social media before and after that statement, it says nothing about offering any mentorship to college athletes. Maybe she's doing that for the 5 and 6-year-old in her class that are taking gymnastics. Not nearly the same. So show me someone who's out here, even the coach.
But yeah, let me do this.
They're concerned, but actually taking action on that concern.
That's fair. I think what they're doing is taking some action, but I definitely respect your opinion. We're going to go to a break, and we got two callers coming out of the break. I got Brother Calvin out of South Carolina and another caller after that. So we'll go to a break, and we'll jump right into the callers. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers. Why you ask?
Man, you got to try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wine. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping deal or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Try this sweet red first.
That's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's kind of sweet like I like it. You know what I'm talking about?
For sure. That's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Sipping Deal. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay. Now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you said what? Sipandsharewines.com? Is that it?
Yep.
Bad.
You can be the quarterback and wear Nike for free.
But you can't get paid.
Or you can't wear nothing else. If NIL was supposed to represent a true market value, that means when you go to a college, you should be able to wear whatever shoes that's paying you. Not the shoe that has a contract with the school.
Right. So the Nike school, you can't have an Adidas athlete. Or even like if it's a school like Michigan, hypothetically, Ford is huge in Michigan, right? They're not doing anything with Chrysler.
No.
Okay.
So say the school has a deal with a network, and I have a deal with a network. They're going to try to make me get rid of my deal before I sign. There's some fine print in your letter of intent that basically acknowledges whatever things that happen with the school, whatever sponsors happen with the school, whatever sponsors happen with the program, you're required to support that. So that's why you're not seeing major collegiate athletes getting paid off of NIL, because the schools ain't giving up their relationship.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Autumn Williams. This morning's discussion question, are some collegiate NIL deals a step back for women, as we hear Jalen Rose on the Earn Your Leisure show? Again, just nuance. I think we're in the beginning. We're in the basically a brave new world when it comes to NIL. And so, again, I love your pushback, Autumn. I don't necessarily agree with you, but I will highlight that even in that cut, we're in the beginning of it, the understanding of all of this, so I don't know that anyone necessarily can, in a sense, help an athlete navigate these as they're kind of coming about. We're in this new landscape, and I see a Dominique Dawes and a Coach Vanderveer jumping out of front of saying, hey, how are we going to look at this thing because it's about to come about? Let's go to Brother Kevin out of South Carolina. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, family. Hey. I was listening to it, trying to get the gist of what's going on. And what I'm seeing is very detrimental to our people and the roles in which I see men, women, whatever. And I got to ask ourselves these questions. where do women want themselves to be? The reason why I say this is that what I'm seeing is this battle between them. All right, I'll give you an example. LeBron James' wife just said something about being a wife and focusing on a wife, and women went crazy. Certain women went crazy, saying, why does she want to be a basketball wife and whatnot? And my argument with this is, it's like there's an assault against women who just simply want to play the role of mother, wife, upstanding woman. What is the image that women want? Do you want this sexualization? Because we know anytime the industry gets in this game, you're going to be sexualized, you're going to be exploited, extremely exploited. And what she's probably doing is jumping in front of this, because they don't care nothing about your little girl. Look at the modeling industry, what it did to little girls. You know, it destroyed those women's lives. You know, men wind up on drugs, you know, and very compromising, men being raped and all kind of things happen. Where do, first of all, who is in the argument? What did you got? Like I said, you got certain women that they ain't for y'all. They ain't for y'all. They for this new age destruction of femininity, you know. They want to masculinize y'all. They want to destroy the image of a woman. You know, they want to turn it into this competitive against men thing. Well, you know, some of them want to be men. So y'all got to be careful who y'all following. Be very careful who y'all following in this fight. Y'all having all these little fights, these little bickerings amongst yourselves. At the end of this, where are y'all trying to be in society? Because we got the same thing on this side. They trying to effeminize us, trying to change the image of us, you know. Where do we want to be in this society? And is it going to be beneficial to our seeds, to our children in the future? You know.
Thank you for your passion.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your question. And I'll get Autumn's thoughts on some of what you're saying as well. And so I think if I'm understanding you, I'll just say this personally. I'm definitely of the position. When you ask that question, you said specifically, what do women want, if you will? I'm fully fine with a woman deciding what she wants. I'm a little concerned at the age group in which they're being posed this question and being, in my opinion, aware of that a lot of our daughters, specifically in our community, may not have the guidance to choose that at the point that they get exposed to these deals. So that's a little bit of my concern. And I think, Autumn, you're correct in making the point that it's kind of part of the game. I think the dialogue is, how do we navigate knowing that a lot of our young ladies may not have that guidance? Whatever, you can kind of respond to me and Kevin or whatever you want to, Queen. I just kind of wanted to throw out, I think it's a fair question, but I'm okay with an adult woman choosing that. I just am a little concerned at the age that these young athletes are having this choice now.
Yeah, so that's my point with first starting with femininity. It appears and seems to me that when it comes to when it comes to
Sorry, Queen, hold on one second. Hold on one second. I wanted to cut his background noise out. All right, you go ahead and finish. I'm sorry.
Okay. When it comes to men speaking on femininity, most would look at Savannah James and saying that's feminine. Femininity is so vast and broad and unique. There's no specific way to be feminine. If you have Sierra, who was, you know, muscular and super feminine, and still twerks and expresses herself, it's expression. And whatever way you see fit is not defined by men, it's not defined by other women, it is completely unique to yourself. So for someone who is over the age of 18, in a structured environment where she is being guided by those that she trusts, and there's also, you know, legal, implications involved with how she moves,
she has the freedom to express herself in a way that she has never before. And that is freedom for her. Savannah James, that may be a, you know, freedom for her, being nurturing and being, you know, behind the scenes. There's different levels to it. And to say that someone else is, you know, harming herself or others by the way that she expresses her femininity is, you know, especially coming from a man, that's not your call to make. That's for that unique, that individual specifically, and how she feels about it and how she expresses herself. That's one. When it comes to the age group, you know, and being concerned about how it will impact that age group, of course, yeah, we're in a different time. And in any industry, whether it's the music industry, where we saw like a Whitney Houston go into it with the pressures of society and of drugs and things that are presented to her. It wasn't Bobby Brown that did that to her. That was the pressure from, you know, her family or whoever else that pushed her into trying to, you know, cope with that pain and led to drugs. It's not just modeling. If we think about modeling or, you know, women objectified, being objectified for sex, that happens in all industries, whether their bodies are being presented as product or not. Athletes, models, singers, dancers, teachers.
But it hasn't been available to college athletes, though, Autumn. Like, that's the nuance that I'm focused on. Like, I'm very aware that that's the reality. This is a new landscape. Young athletes did not have this opportunity. So everything we see has not been that space, has not been that space for young athletes. We've definitely seen it for young artists that get into the music industry, but we also understand that specifically for the music industry, and there's always that dialogue, but it hasn't applied to this age group on this massive scale, unless you specifically went into entertainment and music industry.
Are we assuming that popularity or sex and drugs is not presented or thrown in the face of athletes once they hit that certain level of fame or popularity? It's there because
the No, we're not assuming. We're just going. What has not happened has been a dollar amount attached to. Like we talked about, you got them doing it on IG for free. That's the era that we live in now. So most people kind of do it for free, and they may get some influence and get their followers to say, hey, I got enough followers, and get a company to give them a deal. That's a new era even for this generation. We talk about those problems all the time. So, no, right. This is not something that has been commonplace for the conversation of today's future college athletes and for parents like a Dominique Dawes. So I'm just kind of saying, when you say this, no, it's new. That's why this is a new landscape. So this is not always
the NIL.
Right.
The NIL deal is new, but the threat is not new. The threat, sexual threats, those things, they're not new. It's just that now they have the power to, you know, or the influence to put their bodies out there, but the dangers are not new. And that's across the board for anybody with popularity or fame. Because that threat or those demons come to anybody who can feed it. And so the NIL deal is not the motivator or the catalyst for those threats.
No, that's not the concern. The concern is not Dominique Knowles and myself, if I have a daughter, I'm not saying to you, Autumn, that we don't know about the dangers of being that age. Cause that's how I hear what you're saying. What I think is completely different is that there is now money specifically being attached to that age group that will encourage, it won't be encouraging the guys to do this, but it will be encouraging our young impressionable athletes who most don't have guidance. Because I think your default spot is with the guidance. I don't disagree with the guidance. I would love to hear what are your thoughts for the fact that most of these girls won't have guidance. I'm like, I want to know, how do you think about that reality? The most girls will not have that guidance. So without the guidance, what do you think the concern could or should be? Because I don't disagree, it's a non-issue if she has guidance. Most of our young athletes will not have the guidance. What does that look like to you, Autumn?
See, and this is where we differ on how this could go and how it should go. You're saying that most don't have guidance or won't have guidance. In the same way that you can use these deals to, catapult your influence and your image and all these different things is the same way you can put that energy towards getting guidance, mentorship that former athletes should be offering to you. So it's not that it won't be at your, you know, disposal. It's that you have the opportunity to get that protection, that preventative maintenance in place. So it's not that they won't have it. Just as they can have the negative influence, they can have the positive influence. It's up to that athlete's mental and, you know, their desire to put that in place. I'm not going to sit up here and
big requirement. That's a big requirement on a young mind. That's a big requirement that they're like, we up against the break, Queen. I'll let you respond out of the break. I'll let you respond out of the break. All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Babe, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, they still know it's me. Cause I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money.
I was wondering about this name, image, and likeness now with college athletes. And if you were at Auburn right now, you'd be cashing in.
Yeah, Dan, but I'm concerned. Okay, there's a couple reasons why I'm concerned. Number one, the NCAA, they're just boneheads. They're like the Don Knotts. They're the Barney Fifes of life. They don't have no idea what's going on. But let me be serious here for a second. Number one, I hate when people tell young black kids getting a free education is nothing. Getting a free education is a really, really big deal. I hate when people tell black kids, well, they're not giving you nothing. Hey, going to college for free, and Dan, you know a lot of people who are still paying college debt to this day. Getting a free education is a really big deal. So that's my first issue. My second issue, and like I say, I don't know anything about this, but they act like everybody in college now is going to start rolling in the dough. And I'm saying, well, that's not true. Nobody's going to be buying the offensive lineman's jersey. He's not going to get a car deal. Now, the quarterback and the running back and maybe a star defensive player, they're going to make some money. But like I say, people are going to buy their jersey, and they might get a car deal. They might even get a restaurant deal. But most of the players, they're not going to make any money. But this notion that, wow, this is going to be great for college athletics. All these people are going to make a lot of money. I don't believe that. The backup guy or somebody like that, yeah, Charles Barkley would have made a lot of money in college. Probably Chuck Person. But that's pretty much it on our team. Bo Jackson at my college at Auburn, the greatest thing I've seen is Bo Jackson is play college football. He's going to make a lot of money. But what really bothers me and scares me about the whole scenario, Dan, is there could be so much resentment from my other teammates. But they're like, damn, Charles is selling jerseys. He's got a car deal. We work just as hard as him. Same thing with Bo Jackson. Like the offensive lineman, he opens up all the holes for Bo Jackson. If Bo Jackson is making all this money and the offensive lineman who actually do all the work, they're not making a dime. I think there's going to be great resentment and jealousy on these teams.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
Welcome back to the Mr. Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Autumn Williams. This morning's discussion question, are some collegiate NIL deals a step back for women. As you hear Charles Barkley's cut thoughts on it, this is probably over a year ago on the Dan Patrick Show. And I will say that some of that dialogue, again, I hope that what makes this conversation worth it was just having dialogue for, in a sense, for parents who may be in these situations. But going back to what you and I were talking about, Autumn, I'll tell you, as I listen to you, I will say personally, I think there's a little bit of fairy tale to your world in the sense of how easy it is to get that goddess. And I'll use this quick analogy. The analogy being what we see quite often happen to our black athletes that are in the NFL and the NBA when you hear the stats of, you know, after 5 years, most of those athletes are broke, if you will. And then when you go see the 30 for 30s on them or just get the dialogue, and there's this aspect of they are so focused on their sport and they come from backgrounds where they couldn't easily get the background that some of their peers may have gotten. They don't have those backgrounds. And so getting who they need to get connected to just to be able to navigate their professional career, unfortunately, happens way less than it should. And then when you look at the backgrounds, unfortunately, no one's surprised. So I would offer that the landscape is more of that reality now for these younger kids who are going to have some of these opportunities that we're watching our slightly older professional athletes have trouble navigating in their 20s. So having this exposure at a young age, I think it's unrealistic to think specifically for the African-American community that they're going to somehow have the mental, as you say, to get the guidance that they need if they're already coming from backgrounds where there's little guidance to a degree anyway. Your thoughts, Queen?
My thoughts there, again, are, and it's not that for me it's fairy tale, because I understand that, you know, some athletes, some professionals, you know, industry professionals, what have you, don't have that guidance, and they come from backgrounds where that's not the norm for them, or even the posture to even seek out that guidance is not even.
Are you willing to see that that's more than less though? When you say, because I think even using the term some, I'm just asking, are you willing to concede that unfortunately that there's more about athletes in that situation than not? Are you? It may not be.
I can't say more or less, and I can't, and I'm the type that I won't be swayed into someone else's opinion, you know, using verbiage. I'm very careful about my verbiage, so I will still say some because I don't know the statistics on that. I think that, you know, society and the internet highlights the negative side of things more often than not. So some people are in the belief that, you know, the extreme of something is reality when it could possibly be not. So I'm still going to stick with some. And, you know, with that moving forward, there is a responsibility and an obligation for us as a community, especially those who are in that industry, to step up and not to lean into that negative feedback or that negative view. So again, it goes back to the athletes who are criticizing or who have, you know, concerns about the younger, you know, generation stepping into that. My question to them is, what are you doing about it? Like, that's just very simple and plain for me. I mean, us, you know, are, you know, the ones who are not in that space, we can sit here and just hinge off of what we read on the internet or what someone puts on social media. But the reality is, if you want to make an impact on it, you have to start with your own industry. Like, you're there, you have the resources to do it. Why are you not offering what's lacking? Why are you not filling in the gap as opposed to feeding the narrative that we, you know, the majority soak in and have dialogue like this about? Because this is not serving whatsoever.
Wow. I have to respect your opinion. But, yeah, I definitely think it is serving to get to wrap around what does it look like. We have this new industry. And so I think parents have often, for those that are fortunate enough to get athletes and, I mean, get scholarships, and we've had plenty of dialogues, for example, on this show where we've talked about, in a sense, why do all our kids want to be athletes and entertainers and things of that nature. So we've had those dialogues, and we do know within our culture that, like, for example, when we're talking about STEM versus sports, we try to, you know, in a sense, have dialogues about how parents can push their kids, them, in the same manner that a lot of our parents push our children into sports. And so we kind of know culturally, at least in my opinion, we know culturally that, you know, there's this, you know, get this scholarship, get this scholarship. I think now we have an added thing to consider and talk about as a part of even the parents that are focused on the scholarship. And so, yeah, I think the dialogue can be very helpful as we now have an added layer to even pushing, mm-hmm. you know, those parents that are trying to get that scholarship via sports, that there's an added layer mm-hmm. that without discussion, I think we leave them out to dry, not to ask, in my opinion, like a Dominique mm-hmm. Dawes is doing, what does this look like? And in her case, she's saying specifically for her daughters. And I think the dialogue can be helpful in that there can be solutions. You know, and, you know, again, that's kind of why during the show, I'm even showing what the NIL works, what it is, what it's not. In a sense, the hoping for a parent who may be listening, even, you know, because a lot, you know, I think you can agree with this. Well, a lot of times we'll assume things about something new and not without knowing the facts, then there's no way to navigate it. So I do think there's benefit to the dialogue. I respect that you don't, but I just throw out, you know, my pushback is I think there could be a lot of advantages to what is the value system around this new landscape. That in my opinion, that's where it's worth it. But I respect if you feel otherwise.
Yeah, my question then would be, and not that the dialogues that are being had today on this show is not useful. I think it's very helpful and insightful. My concern is that the ones who have a direct connection to those athletes and have major influence over them, who's making the call to action? Who is putting things in place to prevent some of these concerns from you know, becoming a reality? You can't save everybody, but being that you were closer, like Dominique Dawes is closer, the coach is closer to those girls, where's the call to action? What actions are being, you know, put in place to make sure that they don't go down the wayside or what have you? If you come from that community and, you know, you didn't have those resources growing up, what are you setting up in your own community to make sure that those who are on the basketball court, who have those dreams, do not, you know, fall, you know, to the left once they get into the industry? Like,
right. Yeah, I think the call to action could be, like I said, again, obviously I see it different. I think some of what they're doing is the call to action and say, hey, let me step out and say something now because we could get, you know, we've seen this, like this is like, for example, this is how social media happened to us, right? I always, like I've had to say this to some of my friends when there's a perspective about, for example, you know, over the last few years, science now has been able to actually do studies, for example, to show, unfortunately, the negative influence of social media as well. I'm not saying social media is negative in mm-hmm. itself or whatever, but we now have the stats of, you know, we've had the concern about the increase in suicide rate, right? And so now there's actually mm-hmm. been studies showing, you know, how that isolation is actually happening more due to the interaction of social media, the screens with our brains, like they're able to study that stuff now, right? So I'm highlighting that example mm-hmm. because I'll say to parents that are the current parents, to a degree, there was no forewarning of what the risk of, you know, it was, you know, it used to be an argument of, do you even get your child a cell phone in middle school, right? That used to be an argument, right? That's almost an argument that's went away, but when parents was first getting their children cell phones, the cell phone couldn't do all that it could do now, right? And so I'm kind of making this long analogy to say, so to a degree, I could never fault, if you will, a parent who their child is now, quote unquote, I'll say, let's just use one example, is addicted to social media because it wasn't something that could even be understood as these things were kind of coming into play. And so I'm using this analogy mm-hmm. to kind of say that I think a Dominique Dawes and a coach, the coach from Stanford, is trying to ring the alarm early versus 5 years from now as a society. We're like, oh, shit, we should have got a hold of what these companies are going to try to do to our children. So I think the call to action is to say, hey, can we look at this? Can we watch this as it's happening versus waiting to see what the landscape will be? So that, again, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just how I see the dialogue from them in their position. today is an effective influence. And again, it's not about you and I agreeing. It's just the perspective on how I see it. And I love your perspective as, hey, she could just be searching for validation like the rest of us. I think that's very fair, too. Well, we're up against the break. We'll go to this last break. Kevin, if you want to get in, come off the one and back on the one. If you're trying to come back in, if you're good, you're good. 502, at one time I saw you wanted to get in on the discussion, so please press one if you want to join us. I saw you come off, so I didn't want to call you on if you didn't want to be called on. We'll be right back and listen to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Truth seekers, please understand, Mental Dialogue is much more than just a talk show. Each and every Saturday, we communicate with you for two reasons, to dialogue and connect. On the dialogue side, we cater to you intellectual outcasts who feel you have no place for honest discourse on race, sex, culture, and African-American business. On the connect side, we've created a community where you can connect with experts specifically in finance, whether personal or business, and mental health, whether it's trauma or to optimize performance, along with all the other skill sets from other MD community members. Our mission was to create a virtual nationwide neighborhood where African Americans learn to trade ideas, goods, and services through social media, meetup, and this podcast. To become a neighbor of the Mental Dialogue Community Club, please visit us at mentaldialogue.com. We are better with you than we are without you. We can be neighbors even though we don't live next to each other. Hashtag raise the culture.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community. If you have a product or service you would like to get out to the smartest audience in all of radio, definitely contact me directly. If you are a individual listener without a business but want to ensure that intelligent radio stays on the air, please visit mentaldialogue.com and become a member and support intelligent radio. This morning's discussion question, are some collegiate NIL deals a step back for women? My special guest co-host is Autumn Williams, and I am Montoya, a.k.a. Black Socrates. And so Kevin wants to jump back in with his queen. Anybody else that wants to join us for this last segment, the number is 646-787-1691. Again, you have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. Let's go to Brother Kevin out of South Carolina. All right, brother. I hope you've gotten a little more context. I'm sorry, a little more context. And so, you know, the dialogue is specifically, hopefully, about this collegiate NIL as it relates to our young sisters potentially getting some of these deals and where it might go. Your thoughts, King?
The beautiful sister said something back here, and I hear that a common thread the last time she mentioned. She said we was talking about the femininity part, and she said something about especially when it comes from men. Here's the thing. I'm one half of a pair, and if I'm the consumer of the other half, I do have some. You know, we do have some say in the development of that other side that I consume, I purchase, I buy, I take care of, I defend, I love, I protect. Just like women are to be with us, the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? They tell us, you know, because what I'm hearing is that men don't have the right to just talk about this basically in so many ways. You know, it's up to us to decide how we're going to do this. No, it's not. You know, it's both of us. both of us help decide with our child. Help decide what our child, you know, is partaking in. And these women or young ladies are children. They're in college. You know what I'm saying? So I just got to push back on that, you know.
Look out of my face. I can score.
All right. Thank you.
No, I hear that. Oh, you got some background noise.
Yeah,
I hear what you're saying, brother. I'm just cutting you down. I'm just backing because you got the background noise in there. I'll maybe let you back in. But I hear exactly what you're saying, and I think there's some validity to it personally as a man, and Autumn may feel different. But I think there's a lot of validity to it from this standpoint. So here's where Autumn and I agree, and I've said this throughout the show. With guidance, I have less concern about what that looks like for a young lady, because with guidance, again, I made the highlight that if, you know, for example, if me and Autumn were in a relationship or were married or whatever, and our daughter was, you know, 17, 18 and being offered a scholarship in addition to potential NIL deals, I'm going to absolutely, as her male, as the male in the relationship, I'm absolutely going to make sure my daughter absolutely understands, in the event that this NIL deal is maybe asking her to model, which again, definitely an industry within itself, but within the NIL deal of her pushing this product, maybe it's not necessarily asking her to model or whatever, but in the event that it asks her to show herself in a way that, you know, maybe hopefully the values in a sense that we've instilled to her that we can guide away from it. And I think to your point, Kevin, in me wanting to guide away, it would be based on how she is seen publicly, and if that look isn't appropriate based on how she values and what she tells me she wants in the future. I think we absolutely have to consider what, in a sense, the woman wants in the future. I've highlighted consistently on this show, part of that concern is I'm not 100% willing to leave that to these young minds, and I think Autumn and I agree on that, because that's why you keep highlighting the guidance part. I am more concerned about the, I believe the majority of our girls won't have it. And part of my opinion on that, just again, going to the numbers that I can point to, which are the professional athletes. Again, that's the 1% of all athletes. But for within the professional athletes, the reason 80% of those athletes are going broke is because the majority of them don't have guidance. So that's where I lean into the numbers, not that I'm trying to be negative. The numbers themselves show me that the majority of those athletes don't have that guidance. And again, it's not about whether I'm right about the majority or not. The concern for those that don't have guidance, I don't know what that looks like, and I'm afraid of the corporation having more influence over them. Your thoughts, Queen, to either mine or Kevin's point, your choice.
Yeah, no, as far as the guidance not being there, I agree with you. You know, if statistics show it, it shows it. But I say that the opportunity is there for that community because, you know, college athleticism, professional athleticism in the Black community is a community, and it's one where I think that the opportunity is there for former athletes and coaches to reach out and do their part for, you know, providing that mentorship and that guidance. How that's structured, how that goes about, I don't know because I'm not in that space. But with Dominique Dawes, I feel like she could have done better by offering the assistance rather than criticizing or, you know, bringing like negativity into the situation. Because even in looking at her responses, there was no response of assistance or help in that nature. It was just critique. And so I don't see where that's helpful to a young athlete who will be reading that post and feeling like they could come to her for that guidance. It's not swaying them to trust her in that sense. As far as the femininity portion of it, I think there's a major difference when we're talking about two parents guiding their child and a man dictating how a woman moves. This Angel Reese is 21 years old. She's not a child. In a traditional sense, most may assume she's a child, you know, for whatever reason, but she's not a child. She's capable of making her own decisions. Our posture as, you know, a community or as leaders, influencers, what have you, is to help her guide those decisions. And that's any person, not to dictate how she moves. So to say that as a male, because you are, you know, our counterpart or our protector or provider, that you have a say-so on how I express femininity is completely, for me, as a woman, as a feminine woman, is out of line. A man, in my opinion, I'm not going to tell a man how to move, but in my opinion, a man is the structure, like the container for femininity, and femininity is the liquid. You don't get to tell liquid how to form. It's formless. But you can protect or provide a protective space for it, but you don't dictate how and when it moves. So that's my analogy for femininity and masculinity. Anything outside of that, in my experience, would deter a woman from trusting a man to protect her, because that's a form of control. So those are things that I think we have to be careful with when we're talking about how we judge this new space, because it is a new time, and you could very well repel a young lady's trusting you by the ways you speak on how she moves. Instead of protecting, you could be repelling and doing the opposite of what we as a society need to be doing for our youth.
So let me say this to you. We don't have a lot of time, but so I'm listening to you speak in that manner. And so part of what we as some of us as men, I should say, because the guy can't speak for all men, but for some of us, the very thing that y'all call control is the thing in some situations, and maybe we have to define what you mean by control, you know, to be fair to you. But when I hear it the way I'm hearing it, some of the things that are defined as control are provisions that we know are very helpful, for example, in a sense, to our daughters, if you will. So like here in Atlanta, if you will. So I remember when I was younger and could care less about, in a sense, provision, and I'm out there chasing women, if you will. But there, for example, I'm just using this as a quick analogy. We don't have a lot of time, but there were certain clubs where the actions in those clubs were going to be very different. And so if I had a daughter, I would absolutely say, hey, one, I wouldn't want you at that club for these reasons. In the event that you go to those clubs, here's some guidance. And I think sometimes the guidance that we give is considered control by a lot of women. But we are right in reference to how the young men who don't have values, that's who we're concerned about. We're not concerned about the majority of boys who do have values. We try to act like the majority of boys don't. That's not the reality. But I am concerned about the young men that don't. And so what may look like control is a smart provision if our daughters will listen to us. In this era, sometimes they will choose not to, and they will, unfortunately, sometimes eat the consequence of not taking that guidance and provision. Your thoughts, Queen? We got a couple of minutes.
I think that's exactly, I think control and guidance are different in that way. Telling someone, hey, this is what I think and believe and advise because of this experience that I've had, giving those examples, is teaching. And whether that person takes that guidance is up to them. But control and telling a woman how to move, like saying, no, you cannot do this, no reason why, and just because I say so, that's control, and you can't do that.
Your daughter's not going to respond to that, especially in today's era. But to your point, sometimes I can't give you that guidance used to be handed that way. Do as I say. And it'll be handed that way, and the daughter's going to run out and do exactly what you told her not to do because it was handed out in a form that wasn't guidance. I definitely could respect the difference. We got about a minute, Queen, so if you want to give out any public information, you're not just a model, so anything that you want to share, please make it known. But thank you so much for helping me hold down this morning's show. But again, let people know how they can stay in contact with you and follow you.
Okay, so a couple different ways. I'm on Facebook at The Autumn Sonata, on Instagram at Miss Autumn Sonata. I'm all over the place. I advocate for our young women, advocate for women in femininity, model and in tech, helping our young black men and women get in tech. And my takeaway, or what I would want someone to take away from this call, is lead by example and lead with empathy and love. You know, consider all variables, especially with this society, that we are not the same. We're not operating in the same energy that we were 15 years ago. And that if you want the youth to trust us to take our lived experience and implement it into their lives, we have to approach them with the same energy and intention that we speak of. So less criticism, more love.
No, I love it. I think, you know, something that came out of it is maybe we need to put those things in place. Like, that's a part of the conversation, like what you talked about. So even Dawes kicking out the conversation that we're having, and you're saying, hey, maybe we need to have these things in place because this is a new landscape. That's a win if we're able to take that guy. So I definitely appreciate that. See y'all next Saturday. All I ask is that you think.